my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. Where do inspiration and liberation come alive for oppressed people the world over? In Ireland's stories, reports our guest Frank Delaney. A former BBC journalist and author, Mr. Delaney's many novels include the bestseller Ireland and Tipperary. Mr. Delaney is forever working to answer his own intriguing question. How is it a tiny island on the edge of Europe dropped such a huge wide green stripe all around the globe? Is it perhaps the luck of the Irish or something much, much greater?
The luck of the Irish is a very mercurial thing. And it is not luck at all, in my view. It is based entirely on the fact that because we're Celts, an ancient, proud European race, we can do something that almost no other race has ever been able to do. We can hold utterly opposite beliefs simultaneously. It's just like listening to an Irish tune. When you allow the mind that kind of unfettered imagination, then you are the legislator of the law of unintended consequences. I think it was Shelley said that poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world. Well, the Irish are the unacknowledged luck makers of the world. You make your own luck. And the more you try, and the more you push the imagination, and the more you put pressure on what the imagination can yield, it's said we only use 10% of our minds anyway, then you get luck.
Frank Delaney was born in Tipperary, Ireland. For decades, he worked for the BBC, and he's published more than 20 books. In addition to providing fictional entree into the Emerald Isle's rich culture, history, and current realities, Mr. Delaney debuted his nonfiction in the U.S. with his book Simple Courage. In addition to his broadcasting career, Mr. Delaney is a judge for the prestigious Booker Prize in the UK and writes frequently for American and British publications. Since 2002, he's made his home in the United States. Bill Russell and I have a special affinity for all things Celtic, so we were delighted to welcome a certified Irish storyteller who, true to his heritage, is as charming as he is knowledgeable.
Frank Delaney, I grew up unknowingly in a mixed marriage. It was bicultural. One side of the family was a lot of fun. They were English, Irish, Welsh, and Scots with a very heavy emphasis on the Irish, and the other was Teutonic German. This is a mixed marriage.
That is a mixed marriage.
Well, I didn't really understand why I had such a good time with the relatives on one side, and it was pretty awful and somber on the other side. Until I grew up and I looked and said, the stories we tell matter. Is that what we're trying to do with our fiction and our nonfiction when we are Frank Delaney?
Oh, gosh, the stories we all tell matter. It's interesting to think about story at this stage of man's civilization. But when you start to analyze it and look at where story is, people talk about the narrative in music. Narrative painters, the Impressionists were in many ways narrative painters. Journalists talk about getting the story. It is ultimately our primary form of communication in terms of expression. Obviously we have the super primary forms like conversation and eye contact and so on and so forth. But in terms of the conveyancing of the proceedings of one spirit to another, it's best done in story. And I've always been intrigued since I was a small boy by the fact that the greatest part of the word history is made by the word story.
And when somebody takes that word and manipulates it to say his story or her story, they've cut into
the essence.
Point.
They're missing the point completely.
Indeed.
It's ultimately about the way we are permitted to use the proceedings, to bring the proceedings of our imagination to bear upon facts. You know, never let the facts get in the way of a good story is what they say about flawed journalists, but they should say it about talented novelists.
Indeed.
This is a direction I hadn't expected. My brother years ago introduced me to the notion of a word called phatics. Fairly obscure.
P-H-A-T-I-C-S.
And it essentially describes content-free, essentially, language. essentially social grooming. It turns out to be a substantial part of what most conversations are about. That there's not, the point is not the content. It is just the engagement, the grooming that goes on between and among people. The stories is where the content is.
Different matter.
Mm-hmm.
And everything around that is gloss. It's not even gloss. It's largely...
It's grooming.
It's social
It's
grooming.
So interesting that you say this. Several years ago, I used to do a language show on the BBC called Word of Mouth, in which we looked at how we spoke and the things we say. And one of the things we discovered in that in Britain there was going on, this fascinates me, a national observation where thousands of people all over the country wore, for 7 days, low-powered, slow tape recorders, and everything they said in their families, and there were carefully selected, scientifically selected groups, was noted down, was and then transcribed. When you read the transcripts of a family, a typical working class, lower middle class, upper middle class family at dinner in the evening, and listen to what they're saying, the thing I was immediately struck by was the absence of long passages. Therefore, there was no story going on. Now, I've been accustomed to reading court transcripts as a reporter, and court transcripts are fascinating because they fall into two parts. This is speaking to your point. They're full of phatics, but phatics with a barb, where one lawyer is trying to get the advantage of a witness. And then you get the witness statements. And that's where the story comes in. And the difference is this. Here is the total difference. The power, the strength, is in the story. Let me give you one other quick example. I wrote a book some years ago called Simple Courage, about a sea disaster, in which all the crew who survived gave evidence to the US Coast Guard in Lafayette Street in New York. And some of them had language challenges and so on and so forth. It was a multinational crew. And the chairman of the board, a wonderful naval officer called Shackleton, was interviewing people very carefully. Snippets of question, snippets of answer. And then, on the last day, the star of the show appears, the captain who has survived. And he gives evidence. And his evidence runs uninterrupted for several pages at a time. Uninterrupted. And it is utterly brilliant. Why? Because he is telling the story of what happened.
I would think, this is a leap, but it's congruent. I would think that in some ways, the story he was able to tell, he was able to tell because he had that sense of continuity. He lived his life that way, so that he had I think that's part of the courage, that kind of integrity.
I hadn't thought of that.
That allows you to see things in continuity, in coherence, and over both in space, but also over time.
Plus the theory. Plus the fact, Bill, that he was a Scandinavian and accustomed to long stories.
Indeed, and we will have a short story for a moment and come right back with Frank Delaney, who will, in fact, we'll see how much continuity we can develop in this story. Be back with us when we return.